97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Pardon me, folks, if my voice is starting to go a little raspy or scratchy. Fighting off some laryngitis. Did it yesterday and made it through the show. Trying to make it through another one. Pleased to be with you here on this Sunday night. Beautiful weekend here in the Delaware Valley. Temperatures up in the mid-60s yesterday. A little chillier today, but it's awesome. I was down in Florida last week. I thought it was cold for Florida. I was like, you know, buttoning up and jackets and jeans at night. For Florida, it did get cold, but the Florida temperature down there when it dropped to 60 seems colder down there. When you come up here, 60 degrees seems warm, so you were in shorts and flip-flops. At least I was. But anyway, hope you're enjoying it. I'm with my man, Connor Thomas. He's my esteemed producer behind the glass, taking your call, 610-632-0975. We threw a few things around today. The Tennessee Titans are playing the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game. So the AFC is now down to two teams, Titans 9-7. They worked their way into the postseason, 9-7. They're in the AFC title game. How much do you lament the Eagles? If they were a little healthier, a 9-7 team like the Eagles probably could have gotten past Seattle. And then who knows? They go into Lambeau, a place where they already won this year. How much do you lament that 9-7 Titans team in the playoffs and the Eagles 9-7, well, 9-8 now, and are home watching the game on the couch? Also, the Chiefs game, in case you missed it, saw the Texans, the Houston Texans, jump out to a 24-0 lead only to get smoked from there. They lost the game 51-31. And they outscored the Texans 51-7 the rest of the way. Patrick Mahomes had five touchdown passes, and I was talking to Connor, my producer, and these are the kind of games you get, like Bill O'Brien, the coach of the Texans, fired. You know, there's been speculation swirling about the stability of his job the last couple of years, a team not being able to win in the playoffs, losing home games in the playoffs, not being able to take the next step, and then they blow a 24-point lead. I don't care who you're playing. I don't care if you're playing the greatest show on turf. I don't care if you're playing Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Jason Kelce. You have a 24-0 lead. The only lead bigger than that in Super Bowl history or NFL playoff history that was blown was a 32-point lead by the Buffalo Bills and a 28-point lead by the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid and his Kansas City Chiefs. Then you got this one. I don't know if there's any games in between or maybe some other games that were 24-point games for four-point leads. My point is, it doesn't happen very often. You should be able to lock down a game. It is extremely rare that you blow a 24-point lead in the postseason. The Texans did just that. Give credit to the Chiefs. They came right back 28 points in the second quarter. And they're off to a 51-31 point victory. If you had the Texans and the points, well, what can I tell you? You had 10 points, 9.5 points. You finished the day with 41 points. You still lost by 10. Incredible, because at one point you were up 34-0. That's what happens in the postseason. That's why I gave it up. I don't do it anymore. The other game today, Packers right now up 7-0. Over the Seahawks early on. Seattle, Aaron Rodgers went right down the field. 8 plays, 75 yards. He hit Davante Adams with a 20-yard pass. They lead the Seahawks right now 7-0. Wouldn't it be cool, though, if the Eagles were in this game? How cool would that have been? Now, Mike from King of Prussia hopped on a little while ago, and he said, this is ridiculous. We shouldn't be in the playoffs. Making the playoffs cost us about 6 spots in the draft. Now we're drafting 21. We could have been drafting in the teens, maybe get the wide receiver we want. You saw the Eagles. Everyone saw the Eagles. Would you have rather them, knowing now that they're out, would you have rather them not made the playoffs and get that higher draft pick, or would you have rather them been in the playoffs, play that game against Seattle, and, you know, if Carson Wentz is healthy, maybe they play another game against Green Bay. Probably couldn't advance further than that with all the injuries they had, but would you like to see a game or two in the playoffs, or would you have rather seen them get ousted and have a higher draft pick? Because, you know, at the end of the day, playoff games aren't going to matter, but it does, you know, draft position does matter. And the Eagles, again, are picking at 21. They have 10 picks in the draft. And one of our top picks every week, Marcus Hayes from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Hello, Marcus. How you doing tonight, my friend? You there, brother?
Yeah, I had you on mute.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
That's usually the best way to hear me.
I didn't want you to hear the this Packers game in the background.
All good, brother. All good. How are you, man? Long season. It's over. We're watching Seattle today. Obviously, the Eagles did not advance, and you know you covered last week's game. Let me just ask you this right off the top. If Carson Wentz stays healthy in that game, do the Eagles pull that game out?
Carson Wentz stays healthy in that game, the Eagles go to the NFC Championship game.
Okay. All right, I love it. All right, that's excellent.
I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, he has to protect himself. You know, it's unfortunate that a guy who plays a very, very violent brand of football got a free shot at him, but it was a legal hit. It was legal on the field at the moment. The NFL ruled it legal after a week of looking at it. And, you know, the two guys that determined that stuff were former Eagles, John Runyon and Troy Vincent. So,
yeah.
You know, let's move on from that.
Sure.
Carson Wentz. You know, if Jadeveon Clowney is a violent player, he's going to take his shots at you the same way, you know, Seth Joyner would have taken his shots at you and Reggie would have taken his shots at you. And we certainly know that Derek Barnett will take his shot at you.
Mm-hmm.
He's got three unnecessary roughness and a roughing the passer penalty this year. He's the most penalized defender on the Eagles team. That said, it's Carson Wentz's job to protect Carson Wentz.
What could he have done differently?
Throw the ball away. It's a screen pass.
Mm-hmm.
You're inviting the defense into the backfield.
Yeah. You're exactly right. No,
if they diagnose a screen pass, which is what Seattle does best of all the things they do as a football team, they diagnose screen passes best. They diagnosed it with a defensive lineman, and all he's got to do is throw it away, throw it at his feet, or throw it over his head. That's it. That's the diagnosis. That's the protocol. That's what you do. And he didn't do it, and he got hurt.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Because he has not finished each of the last three seasons. He's missed the playoffs each of the last three seasons outside of 9 snaps. And even going back to college, he's had all the injuries. He did have a clean first year, his rookie year, but known as injury prone. Does this go down as an injury tacked on to the injuries that kind of classify him as injury prone?
Well, I don't think the right terminology is injury prone because that implies that he's fragile. I don't think he's fragile, and I don't think he's not tough. I think he's unwise. And if you want to define injury prone as someone who puts themselves at risk for injury too often, then absolutely. I mean, there's an argument to be said, you know, there's an argument to be had that should be injury prone as well. But yeah, I mean, he has to learn how to take care of himself or he certainly will not reach his potential. And his potential is limitless. That's the thing, you know. The one area where it's not limitless is he's not a very good runner. He's an okay runner. You know, he's not elusive. He's not particularly big. He's not particularly strong. He's adequate. You know, he's as good a runner as like Aaron Rodgers is, maybe better. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is not a guy that you spy necessarily.
Right. Of course
and
not.
You don't need to spy. You don't need to spy Carson. He's just not, that is not a viable, you will gladly allow Carson the opportunity to run several times a game for the opportunity to hit him.
So you're kind of putting this loss, if I understand you, at the foot of Carson Wentz.
Well, yeah, I wrote a column about it earlier this week. I mean, Carson Wentz should have thrown the ball away. Because he didn't throw the ball away, he left the game. Because he left the game, they lost the game.
Makes sense. Josh McCown comes in, plays with a ripped hamstring. How do you play with a hamstring torn off the bone? Was that accurate?
Lots of drugs, man.
Jeez. As long as you can
perambulate, you know, I mean, you've played with stuff that's messed up before.
Sure,
as long as you can function, you can function, you can play. And, you know, that's the sort of thing. You just, you know, deaden it. My thing is he played through a torn hamstring, injured it further, then held a press conference.
You're right. He did.
I mean, all you got to say is, look, I think I tore my hamstring. I'm not really able to talk about this. I'll get you guys tomorrow at the locker room, you know?
Oh, he doesn't, get a lot of media coverage. He thought he'd bask in the glow a little bit.
For a guy who retired and then became a backup quarterback, he gets a lot of media coverage. He's a pretty available guy. He was like it was like having another coordinator day when he was around in the locker room.
Yeah.
I enjoyed him. I really did. I think he's going to be a great coach in the league if he wants to do that, and he could probably do it tomorrow. I'd hire him as my offensive coordinator if I was Doug before the week's out.
I was just going to get to that because they do not have an offensive coordinator now. What'd you think of, I guess I should say, how do you think the hierarchy worked in that particular situation? Because Doug says that Carson Walsh is coming back. He says that his offensive coordinator, Mike Groh, is coming back. And the next day, they're both fired. Does that come from over him? Who does that come from?
Oh, that's a Jeffrey Lurie call. Absolutely.
So the owner's getting involved in making those decisions?
Absolutely. Just like Jerry Jones. You know, Jerry Jones has been hiring and firing assistant coaches for years. And that's why nobody wants to work with, it's one of the big reasons why nobody wants to work with Jerry Jones. You know, so, you know, I'm not saying it's the right or wrong move. I'm saying that that's what happened. And I was never a fan of hiring Mike Groh because there was really no reason to hire Mike Groh. If you were going to say, okay, who deserves this job? Mike Groh didn't deserve it. It sort of fell to him because of the way that Josh McDaniels stood up the Indianapolis Colts.
Right, sure.
Cost them Frank Reich after John DeFilippo had committed to Minnesota. But that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, we go with Mike Groh now. Mike Groh had done nothing to deserve that job and didn't do it very well in my estimation. So all that said, you know, it's that definitely was a Jeffrey Lurie call. I mean, Jeff McClain reported it as such. I found out afterward for further confirmation that nobody in the organization believes it was anything but Jeffrey's call. Doug probably wasn't too hard to convince, but the way he answered the question, asked twice about his offensive coordinator, Mike Groh, and his receivers coach, Carson Walsh, there's no doubt that he intended to keep both of those guys as of Wednesday. Now, the bigger issue is, you know, who does he replace them with and who does he get to replace them?
Right. Now, whose call is that?
Well, if you're the guy firing, you're the guy hiring.
So you're going to tell me Jeffrey Lurie's in charge of hiring our assistant coaches now?
Nobody gets hired in this organization anymore without Jeffrey Lurie's okay.
I'm sure that's fine to have an okay, but he's not going to spearhead the search, is he?
Why not?
He's not a football guy.
Well, he just fired two football guys.
No, I understand. He is by definition, but like at least I'll give you Jerry Jones. He played college ball.
Who do you think hired Jim Schwartz? Jim Schwartz had his press conference on the day Doug Peterson. Jim Schwartz had a press conference to begin with. Okay, there was no offensive coordinator. They hired Jim Schwartz and introduced him at Doug's press conference. Doug couldn't even have his own press conference.
I remember it. I remember I was standing right there. Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything like it?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. So my point is, for better or worse, Jeffrey Lurie is the general manager of this team when the biggest decisions have to be made, and the biggest decisions are becoming smaller and smaller all the time.
So
this is the same as John Middleton firing the hitting coach and hiring Charlie Emanuel. It's the same thing. And you know who were really good friends? Jeffrey Lurie and John Middleton,
right. Okay, interesting. Well, that doesn't necessarily instill a lot of confidence in me. Jeffrey Lurie's a very smart guy, but what does he actually know about offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators?
Well, I think that's a rhetorical question.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, but what does he really know? How much help does he get from Howie and Doug?
Well, what does Howie know about offensive and defensive coordinators?
But at least he's studying. He's around the NFL. He's studying guys. He talks to GMs. He knows other coordinators and coaches. You know, I'm like no offense, but Mr. Lurie isn't really in the trenches necessarily, is he?
Well, I would posit that he's in the trenches as much as Howie. You know, Jeffrey Lurie's in the draft room. Christina Lurie used to be in the draft room.
Oh, God. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
I mean, this is the reason people roll their eyes at this organization is that, you know, it's always been rotisserie football. It's always been all these fingers in the pie.
All right, expound on that. For rotisserie meaning fantasy football, what do you mean by that?
Jeffrey Lurie has always been very involved in every major decision. Everyone. Ray Rhodes, hiring Ray Rhodes, helping Ray Rhodes hire his staff, hiring Dana Bible. You think Ray Rhodes wanted to hire Dana Bible?
Probably not.
Okay. You know, I mean, this is, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, you know, and I'm not disparaging Jeffrey Lurie's football acumen. I'm saying this is how it works, and this is how it's always worked. Jeffrey Lurie has a Super Bowl, and I think six NFC championship games. So, you know, and people like to be Eagles. People like to have been
sure,
Eagles.
Absolutely.
People like to be Eagles. It's not a terrible organization.
No.
He's not a terrible guy.
Not at all. He's a good owner. I think he's a good owner.
So all that said, you know, let's go back to your original point. You know, is Jeffrey Lurie going to help hire the offensive coordinator? Of course he is.
Well, what do you think of that system that the Eagles have in place to hire their people?
I've always thought it was insane. Okay. The only time I've had faith in this system is when Tom Modrak ran it. It was the only time since I've been here, and I got here in 1995, where there was a clear, powerful voice at the head of the table. And, you know, Modrak came in, and he was charged with, you know, sort of rebuilding everything. And he did. You know, Tom Modrak, I'll tell you a little story. Tom Modrak, in 1998, I want to say. No, in 1997. Saw Donovan McNabb play Pitt at Pittsburgh. And Syracuse and Pitt used to play all the time.
Right.
And he said, if I ever have a chance to draft that kid, I'm going to draft him. So all this, you know, all the rumors about Modrak wanting, you know, Ricky Williams and, you know, we want the bus part two. We're going to play Pittsburgh Steelers football because Modrak was, you know, the assistant GM
right.
of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
No, Tom Modrak wanted Donovan McNabb before Donovan McNabb was a senior in college.
Wow.
That's the last time this team has been run in a traditional manner. And a lot of teams aren't run in a traditional manner. A lot of owners have way too much there. A lot of owners aren't hands off. But all that, and a lot of coaches have way too much say. I've always been a firm believer that there should be a, you know, strict chain of command, that the guy picking the football players should be a guy who's been a football player and been a coach and been around football players, been a scout.
Yeah, that was kind of my point. Like, I was wondering, it took me a while to get you to say that was insane. I was wondering what you thought of that, but I agree with you. It's insane.
But, I mean, it's not failed. That's the thing. I mean, they can point to their Super Bowl. They can point to winning seasons. They can point to hiring non-traditional coaches. The two best coaches they've ever had, with all apologies to Dick Vermeil, are Andy Reid and Doug Peterson, neither of whom called plays as an offensive coordinator, one of whom wasn't even an offensive coordinator.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting stuff to digest. Well, let me ask you this, because, I mean, they hit on everything 2 years ago with free agents and trades, and that's how they kind of built their team. But I'm looking at the impact guys they've had since the Lane Johnson draft, and I see about three impact guys, real impact guys. And you look over like Dallas, and they have like eight impact guys. Not the Dallas is anything, because they can't put it together either. But is that one of the reasons you think that might hold them back in the drafting process? Is there too many fingers in the pie?
I don't know. I don't know that that's the issue, because, you know, the last two drafts were run by two football guys, Joe Douglas and Andy Weidel.
Okay, then what do you think the issue is?
Well, I don't really know. I don't know that we can judge the last two drafts 2 years after the draft. I'm a pretty big believer in, like, 4 years.
Sure.
I mean, their two second-round picks are outstanding. You know, they're Dallas Goedert and Miles Sanders. Those are spectacular picks. And once you get below the third round, I'd say, you're kind of like looking for special teamers and guys you hope become starters. You know, the first three rounds are where you make your hay. And I think they're batting about, what, 500 in the first three rounds with those players. And, you know, you might have hit a home run with the tight end and with the running back. So, you know, and the left tackle, Andre Dillard, he looks like a real player,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm not going to disparage the recent drafts until I get, you know, Mac Hollins was a failure. Nelson Agholor wasn't a terrible pick. You know, Nelson Agholor gave you some value, you know, and he didn't have a very good first year or fourth year, but he had two good years in between, and he may have a great career going down the line.
What do you think?
It's just too early to say about all the recent guys. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. What do you do? This is the last question. I'll let you go, bro. You've been on the phone for a while, and I appreciate it. It's been compelling stuff. What do they do to replenish the wide receiver position, because they need a bunch of them?
I don't know, man. It's a really good crop this year. They have a lot of picks.
I would be surprised
to see them consolidate a lot of their picks and really take a couple of big gambles. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what they're going to do. Here's the thing. It's not that they haven't picked wide receivers. They've picked the wrong
ones. Wrong ones, yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's not that they haven't picked cornerbacks. They picked the wrong cornerbacks. And the same guys run in the room. You know, let's not pretend. I mean, the reason the Eagles went to the Super Bowl and won is because of Nick Foles and Chris Long and Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey,
LeGarrette,
you know, guys who were added, not guys who were drafted.
Right. That's my point. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, the same guy, Howie Roseman, is here. I fired Howie Roseman after Doug Peterson's rookie season because he did so many things were done poorly that first year, and he extended Vinnie Curry.
Right.
Who was an absolute bust after the extension relative to his contract. He wasn't a bad player, but he wasn't, you know, a $50 million player.
Sure.
So all those things considered, I was like, you know, that's enough. You know, you had your year post-chip. And then, of course, the next year he won the Super Bowl. He won the Super Bowl with two guys who really knew what they were doing, especially around the league. Waddle and Joe Douglas both knew the league well enough to know who could fit this system, fit Jim Schwartz's system, and be productive.
Interesting. All right, man. That's great stuff. Very compelling stuff, Marcus. Appreciate it. You can read Marcus Hayes in the Philadelphia Inquirer often. And, Marcus, we appreciate your time, man. Get back to the game, and we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks again.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
All right, Marcus. Marcus Hayes on the Comcast Business Hotline. I thought that was interesting stuff that he was saying. I learned some things there that are, to me, are stunning. I mean, you hear rumors and whispers and murmurs, and, you know, you never know what's exactly going on, but I think he straightened that out. We'll talk about a lot of that on the other side. I'm Joe Stajak, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. We're coming right back. 97.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the show. Joe Stajak in the house with you at 7:30. I'm here till 9 o'clock tonight. Sixers coming off a loss to the Dallas Mavericks, 109-91. Not much Sixer talk on this show so far. We've been kind of keeping it to football. We've been going around the league. We had Steve Callis on. He broke down the games that have already happened. In case you missed it, the Chiefs beat up on the Texans 51-31. And the storyline of that game is that the Texans were up 24-0 in that game in the first quarter and still got their doors blown off. Green Bay leads the Seattle Seahawks right now 7-3. I'll throw this out there. When you're watching this game, we watched all these guys last week, so we know them by name. Are you rooting against them because they beat your team, or do you want to see that team who beat you go all the way, or go as far as they can go? Because I'm still a Russell Wilson fan. See, you're asking the wrong guy that question, because I'm a little bit more neutral. I mean, the Eagles are my team, but I don't have like sports hate like I used to growing up. A lot of times it's because I met some of these guys or I've dealt with them before and know them as people. So, and I just also, from afar, I admire greatness. I admire talent. I admire skill. I admire, clutch. Russell Wilson, to me, is all those things and more. I'm trying to think. Well, he was a candidate for MVP this year. Lamar Jackson's going to get it, and he should. I also think, though, that Coach of the Year, Player of the Year, MVP, those kind of votes should not just be to the regular season, should not just be connected to the regular season. They cut it off at the regular season. To me, the postseason is where you make your bones. If I'm looking at a Coach of the Year, why would I stop at the end of the regular season? Craig Berube did a nice job last year, but clearly the Coach of the Year, if you factored in the playoffs, clearly the Coach of the Year. You're saying, well, it's not fair because other guys don't get that far. Well, they don't get that far. They don't deserve it. Get it? Oh, it should completely encapsulate the playoffs, in my opinion, not just the regular season. I think that's stupid, actually. Because you see some guys really elevate their game in the postseason. And if there's two guys, you know, slugging it out, so let's see how they did in the postseason. Let's see how they took their team and where they took their team to. See, I think it's a much better idea, not just because I thought of it. 610-632-0975. Mike and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5 The Thank. What's up, Michael?
Hey, man, I want to thank you. You were the only one that believed in me. You gave me those Fan Fest tickets.
Yeah. Oh, my man. You, man. Oh, you're welcome. Man.
Right. You don't remember me. You know
I remember me. I remember
of
you,
course.
Brother. Of course.
Of course. You're the only one that believed in me. All those other guys, they said all good comments, and they never gave me the tickets.
You're my man, Mike. Come on. You're my man.
Just to talk a little Eagles, your screener told me to stay on topic, you know.
Sure.
Even though the Eagles season is over. But my thing is, I'm not like everybody else, man. This is tackle football, man. And sometimes plays are missed, guys get hit, and it's just like, I mean, Carson's got to show us he's going to be able to stay healthy an entire season into the playoffs and beyond. The biggest ability is
your availability. Yep.
Right. I don't want to hear about all this. This is tackle football, man. You got to be tough. Now, listen, if a guy rams me down in the head, I'm probably going to be out too. I understand that. It was an egregious illegal hit. Yes. But guys get hit like this all the time. Okay. And so, I'm just concerned that he's fragile, like a wet paper towel. I mean, what do you have to say about that, brother?
Well, I talked to Mark. It's funny you say that, Mike, because I was getting into that with Marcus Hayes. I don't know if you heard the interview, because I was a little on the fence. I've always tagged him as injury prone. He got hurt his senior year in college, second year in the NFL. He breaks up his knee, rips up his
knee. Oh, man, goes back to college?
Goes back to college, yeah, and hurts his knee in his sophomore season, hurts his back in his third season, and this year makes it through 16 games and then gets the concussion. Now, people say, no, it's an isolated incident. You can't lump that in. Well, all I know is he did not finish the three seasons the Eagles made the playoffs. He did not finish. So to me, and it's all because of injury, to me, yeah, I think that, and Marcus went further. He said, well, he puts himself in harm's way. So if you're going to count that in with the injury prone thing, because he does it to himself, then yes, he's injury prone.
Well, this is what I got to say. So, fool me once, you know what this attitude.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You have to make amends for this. Let's not be here this same stage next year and it's another injury or it's another, you know what I'm saying? Because then we look like fools. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what to do. I don't know if you get a quality backup. I don't know if you put him in some type of extreme workout so that he can bulk up or do something. But you got to address the elephant in the room that if he's not going to be able to stay healthy, how far is this team going to go?
Not very far.
Well, you said it, I didn't. And so you look at Mahomes and all these other guys, you know, they get hurt, they get back in there. Listen, the quarterback is going to get hit, and he's going to probably get injured in the course of the season. You just hope he can fight through that stuff, man.
I hope it's not major, yeah.
You know, so I'm not saying, look at some of the better quarterbacks. It's just part of the landscape, man. You can't put bubble wrap on these guys. And so that's all I have to say. I'm going to listen offline. I'm a truck driver, so I'm going to go ahead and keep on trucking.
Mike.
Thanks for those fan fest.
You got it, babe. You got it. You got it, man. Be safe, Mike. Appreciate it, pal. I always like to help a brother out. He went to Fan Fest. I remember meeting him at Fan Fest. I love Fan Fest. I get to meet the folks I gave tickets to, or the you get to put a face with the voice. Oh, I love Fan Fest. Can't get enough of Fan Fest. And I like broadcasting down there. I always ask to work Fan Fest. Can you put me on? I like working because then throughout the course of the day, they let other anchors come on. Everyone joins you at some point. And so I'm weaving this guy in, this guy out, this guy in, this guy out. We have all the hosts on, and then fans come up and want to chat in between break. And it's an awesome day. Awesome day. So I'm glad I could help Mike out. He mentions Carson's availability. I'm with Marcus. I'm more on the Marcus Hayes side that you have to lump that injury in with the fact that I've tagged him as injury prone. The definition of injury prone, I looked it up. I mean, this is the definition, is gets hurt a lot. All right? It doesn't talk about how he gets hurt or when he gets hurt, or how serious the injury is. Injury prone means hurt a lot. Well, to me, that's him. I mean, he's hurt a lot. And the concussion, and Marcus, and we're going to play a bite or two of his back later in the 8 o'clock hour about how he talked Carson Wentz about the Eagles making it to the NFC title game if Carson Wentz stays healthy. And he basically put the loss and the season being over at the feet of Carson Wentz. Usually the quarterback gets the blame as well, but I thought it was interesting because he didn't really play in the game that he puts the loss at the feet of Carson Wentz, because Carson Wentz, he believes, put himself in harm's way. And he did. He did. Throw the ball away, and he takes off with the ball. He lands, and Jadeveon Clowney, think what you want to think, lands on him. I thought he pointed his head down as if to kind of lead with his helmet. I would have fined him. I would have flagged him. And there you go. That's the season. That's the ball game. People were calling him heroic for taking himself out of the game. He wasn't heroic. He didn't know where he was. You don't call that heroic. You can call that responsible. He was pretty responsible considering Kamau Grugier-Hill admitted that he lied to the doctor to stay in the ball game, and then Doug Peterson called him selfish. I would totally lie. Oh, if I could remember who I played last week and where I was just a little dizzy or blah. I'd totally lie. I'm not giving you any fodder to pull me from this game. But I think Carson Wentz at this point, it was very bad. He even went over to Josh McCown and said, I don't feel right. He's a big guy, too. You know, I mean, he's tough. Carson Wentz is tough. But for him to say that, and he went over, and I don't know if I was telling the story yesterday, and some people didn't know this, that he didn't know where he was, and they asked him who did they play last week, and he did not know. He didn't know who the Eagles played the week before. So that's a good indication. That's when they went to the locker room, did some more testing. But, I mean, you're pretty much done. Your day is pretty much over when you can't remember who you played the prior week. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stazak here till 9 o'clock tonight. Are you rooting for Seattle because they beat the Eagles? Are you rooting against Seattle because they beat the Eagles? They're down 14-3 right now. Looks like a rout. Eagles would have given these boys a tougher time than this. But don't count Russell Wilson out. It's still early, 9 minutes left in the second quarter. I'm Joe Stazak. We're coming right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello. Mentioned earlier the Seahawks getting trounced a little bit by the Pack. 5:43 left in the second quarter. Pack has the ball. They're up 14-3 over the Seahawks. Are the Eagles have beaten the Packers with Carson Wentz? Marcus Hayes says yes. In fact, he puts the loss at the feet of Carson Wentz. We're going to have that sound for you coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. I did an interview with him about 45 minutes ago. I thought it was interesting. He talked about how, remember when Doug Peterson the other day said Carson Wentz and Mike Groh, his offensive coordinator and wide receiver coach, will be back. And the next day, they got fired. Marcus tells me that comes from the owner. This was a little bit enlightening because I hear that and I've heard that plenty of times, but I always thought that meant he signed off on it. You know, he was given information by his minions, given opinions, given suggestions, and then he signs off on it. Apparently I'm wrong. Apparently he actually does the searches. He's the one who hired Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, and I remember they had a co-press conference. I was standing right next to Jim Schwartz when Doug was on. I thought it was interesting. In fact, I just turned to my left. I didn't know he was standing. I'm like, oh, that's Jim Schwartz. He had just done his press conference. But, he gets his fingers in the mix, in the pie, and he claims that the Eagles play rotisserie football. And I said, well, what do you think of that? I was waiting for him to give his opinion on it because it sounded to me like the whole thing was crazy. I was like, are you serious? And he finally goes, oh, it's insane. I asked him, well, what do you think of it? It's insane. But you know what? It's kind of worked. When you get the major pieces right. When you get the major pieces right. You know, five NFC title games for the Eagles. One trip to the Super Bowl, another Super Bowl championship, two trips to the playoffs subsequently following the Super Bowl. I just think it's crazy having him. He mentioned Christina, Jeffrey Lurie's ex-wife, in the draft room at the time. What? What a mess. Imagine having the wife's owner in the war room. Giving her opinion and making selections. To me, it's crazy. At least Jerry Jones does that stuff. And I know it, and I get all that. To me, Jeffrey Lurie's not a football guy. By definition, he is. He owns a football team. But at least Jerry Jones played college football at Arkansas. He played the game, so he knows it pretty well. And I would think that he would be much more apt to evaluate talent at a higher level than Jeffrey Lurie. Probably gets his hands involved too much, but his son Steve, they've been great together. It works for them. They just don't have a chemistry or something, because, or maybe it's the coaching staff. Maybe Mike McCarthy can bring that team to the next level, because that's what they needed. I called for Jason Garrett's head way before that happened, because the team is so talented. Dallas is so talented, but they couldn't get to the next level. Another 8-8 year in this division. What? Losing games to the Jets and the like. Games they should have won handily. Dropping games. Dropped that four games in a row down the stretch. Or three games in a row down the stretch. Only putting up a feeble effort against the Eagles. It was the final 17-9. Yeah, Dallas was held to three field goals. Eagles defense isn't, you know, exactly the 85 Bears. And Dallas couldn't score a touchdown. Couldn't score a touchdown. Eagles only scored 17 points, but at least they have an excuse. They got like practice squad guys going. I mean, they have a built-in excuse. I just thought it was interesting. I wish I had him on longer, because he does put the loss at the feet of Carson Wentz. And I asked him, my first question was, if Carson Wentz stays healthy, do the Eagles win that game against Seattle? He said, if Carson Wentz stays healthy, they are playing in the NFC title game, which means they would have gone to Green Bay and knocked them off too. So that was interesting. That's how much confidence he loves Carson Wentz too. And I agree, he's, you know, an elite talent. Not a great runner, as Marcus Hayes pointed out, and he puts himself into harm's way too often, and that's why these things happen. That's why he puts the loss at Carson Wentz's feet. What do you think of that? Do you think Carson Wentz's injury history is his fault? How much fault, how much blame would you put on Carson Wentz for his injury history? People want to separate this concussion with the rest of his injuries. People I've talked to are like, no, you can't put that in. It's a concussion. It's an inadvertent hit on the head. Yeah, guess what? He got hurt running the football. He didn't finish the season. Same as last year. Same as the year before. Had problems with his wrist and his thumb in college. The only year he was clean was his rookie year when he went 16 games. I called him out at the beginning of the year. I wrote an article. I talk about this all the time. And people thought, oh, you're so negative. And we did a whole show on it, me and Andrew Saltrunas, because it just went live. He reads it and goes, well, this is pretty negative. I'm like, it's not negative. It's not negative. I'm just raising questions. I'm not going to give a lather job on Carson Wentz, a guy who hasn't won anything yet. I'm raising questions. Two of the main questions, well, there were four, two of them were, can he stay healthy? Does he have the clutch gene? I think he proved that he has the clutch gene. Those late game heroics against the Giants and Washington and coming up big against Dallas. I mean, those were playoff games down the stretch. You know, those were playoff games. Those last four games that he had to win, they were basically just as big as playoff games. So he got that experience. Those were elimination games, essentially. Eagles lose any one of those games, they don't make the playoffs. So, and the other thing I raised was, can he stay healthy? Now, I said for 16 games, what I should have said was for the whole season, because he stays healthy for all 16 games, and game 17, he makes it through 9 snaps. Marcus believes that he could have got rid of that football. It was a simple screen, and, I mean, I'd have to see the play again. I was watching it in a different setting. I was watching my mom's hospital room, and I couldn't really get a good look at things like I usually get. But, so he blames it on Carson Wentz. Do you blame the loss on Carson Wentz? Do you blame his injury history on Carson Wentz? People feel sorry for Carson Wentz. Should we feel sorry for Carson Wentz? Is it his own fault? We're going to have that sound from Marcus Hayes coming up after the break. I'm Joe Stazak, 97.5 The Fanatic. We're coming right back after this.
It's Joe Stazak on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's easy. Just text and tag with approved credit and proper down payment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.